Yes, sir. You're going to love it. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. I want to thank you folks for being so faithful. Some of you folks have been out every night. Every night. Many of you have been out every night. Now, we've learned some things, and you've made some decisions. You've made some good decisions. The successful Christian life is you making a decision, one good decision after another. But the beauty of that decision is not the decision you made this week to read your Bible. I hope some of you folks actually got up this morning. It's not the time of day in which you read the Bible with the Lord that's important. The most important thing is you spend time with Christ in His presence and listen to Him as He speaks to you sometime during the day. I hope you did that. You've got to get up and say, God, help me. I wonder if you have disciplined yourself to do that. Even yet today. If not, you ought to before you go to bed. Do that every day. I was talking with the folks last night, and I was wondering. I've been saying, God, what's made the difference? What has made the difference in my life? I know the Word of God has made the difference. I don't know how it works. God says it does, but I've experienced it in my own life. But what's made the difference in my life? You know what? I got saved age 30. Eighth grade education, making straight F's through school, made an F in art. I can draw anything I look at, but folks, I was not interested in what people or teachers had to say or teach. My mother was an alcoholic. My mother was not interested in teaching and this, that, and the other, and all that goes with it. But where was I going with all that? But anyway, don't know where it went to. Just flew away. Mark 8, yeah?
The Word of God made the difference.
The Word of God has made the difference, folks. Yeah, and so we were talking last night. Thank you, my brother. At least he was listening. At least somebody was listening. Get this. Now, I went spent 5 years. It took me 5 years to get my GED. 5 years. They wouldn't let me in Bible college without one. And now 5 years later, they start me in third grade English at 35 years old. Man, I can barely read. And now they stuck me in. Well, they gave me a test to 8th grade English, and Miss Betty Bond said, Norman, I'm sorry, you're not ready for 8th grade English. She took an interest in me and stuck me in 3rd grade English while I'm taking college English and composition at the same time, okay? Now they give me a comprehension test. I'm up to 138 words a minute, and I said, now, you want me to think and read at the same time? And Norman never tried that before. Why? Well, no one taught me. I didn't know you're supposed to ask questions and read at the same time. I thought, man, that's crazy. I'm just trying to learn to read. Give me a break. Some of you folks are so much smarter than that. You've got so much talent and ability. I mean, but what are you using it for? And so I'm thinking, as dumb as I am, I've just been faithful. I've been faithful to reading my Bible. I thought that's what good Christians do. Faithful to being going to church and faithful to keep a short account of sin and just faithful to do right. But I was thinking, see now, I spent 5 years getting my GED. Then I went off in 4 years of college and I'm driving a Yugo. Now back here, I started out with a brand new Ford F-150. Now back down here, I'm with a Yugo. You know, I gave him everything over here. I'm not saying he's going to take it away from you, but, you know, it was his. And I'm still got a car, so you go. But you know what happened at the end of the 4 years? I went back to Florida, and the guy come up to me, Dennis Christian. He said, Norman, is that all you got? A Yugo? I said, yeah. He said, we can't let you represent Jesus Christ in a Yugo. He said, we're going to buy you a car. So that man, he said, I wanted to see if you were for real. Hey, are you for real? I'm thinking, hey, that might be just a part of it. He wanted to see if you're going to continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of this week. It's the beauty of that decision, not what you've made the decision this week. The beauty of that decision is going to be weeks and months and years if you continue in the things that you say you think that are true and that you think you believe and God has assured you of. And that guy gave me a brand new Ford a 96 Ford Escort. And so anyway, that was all free. Some of you folks need to continue. You give up way too easy. God knows that. Continue, continue. Well, nothing has happened to me yet. Well, praise God. Just keep it up. Does that make any sense? I just came to me last night. We were talking. I'm thinking, wow. All of a sudden, God just turned another little key on, so he got the credit. I don't know. But anyway, Mark 8:34, this is a long message, but it'll be okay. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will, hey folks, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall man get in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now folks, look this way. If I were to preach the gospel tonight, many of you could say, preacher, look up. I've already embraced the gospel of Christ. Well, that's why I want to preach a message on the Lordship of Christ. Amen. There's a message that needs to be preached to those who are saved. That's you, who are born again. The person who has already embraced the gospel of Christ. But what is that message? It's the message that Jesus Christ must be master and Lord of your life. Now, the unsaved need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the good news. The unsaved need to hear about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and respond to that message, you see. But the saved people, those who are saved, born again, they need to hear the message of the Lordship of Christ and respond to it. Folks, you need to hear and respond to the message that Jesus Christ must be master and Lord of your life. The passage before us is not an evangelistic passage. Jesus is not telling people how to get saved in this passage of Scripture. You see, no one can get saved by self-denial. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. It's not going to go down that way. Ephesians 2, it says Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, good works, lest any man should boast. Jesus seemed to gather from the crowds those who profess faith in Christ, those who received Christ as their own personal Savior. And he said unto those folks, whosoever will come after me, hey, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So what was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this, look, if you're going to walk with me by my side, as my friend, as my companion, you need to follow my instructions. You need to follow my method. That's right. It's available for every Christian on the planet. But he's simply saying, if you're going to follow me, you need to follow my method. Just as man cannot get saved any way he chooses. Folks, there's not many ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's why the religions of the world are not going to save mankind. They miss the person of Christ. Amen. Only in the Christian faith is there a salvation that is secure. And you ought to believe that salvation only exists in Christ. Amen. How do you know that? Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. You say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? I'm glad you ask. You need to exercise faith in the gospel message. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, when a man hears the gospel, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with a repentant of heart receives that gospel as the only hope of salvation, that man is saved. You see, the Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Well, this repentance is a change of mind that agrees with God that I am a sinner and so are you. No one in the room today can plead not guilty of sin. All of us must plead guilty of sin and all of us must say, listen, folks, I am guilty. I am guilty. You're looking at a sinner. I have by my nature and by my deeds offended the holy God. And so have you. God looks at the human race and judges us guilty, for all of us offended God in one way or another. Makes no difference the magnitude, the capacity, or the length of your sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
And also agrees with what Christ did for us on the cross. He became our substitute. Folks, he died in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he, God, hath made him Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And if men would simply believe on Christ, he could be saved. Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, to believe on Christ is you receiving Christ, and receiving Christ is you believing on Christ. That's you believing on Christ as the one who bore your sin, who died in your place, who is buried, whom God resurrected from the dead. Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." Then he said in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My friend, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, you need to be. You need to be saved. You need to be born again so that you can begin to grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth. And with that new birth, you'll receive forgiveness of all of your sins, eternal life, and a home in heaven when you die. So just as man cannot get saved any way he chooses, you need to realize as a born-again believer, you can't walk with Christ. You can't live for God. You can't live the Christian life any way you choose. Amen. And that's where many of God's people have missed it in the 21st century. They're not in the manual. They're not reading the book. You receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and then you go about doing your own thing. And you think about God every once in a while, and you have the idea that will satisfy the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ ought not be treated that way. He did not save you merely to get you out of hell. He did not save you merely to forgive you of your sins. He did not save you merely to take you to heaven. He did not do that. Why did he save you? He saved you so that you might live for Christ. Yes. You're going to live for someone or something. Who are you going to live for? Now you're going to serve someone, serve something. Who are you going to serve? Now you've got to make up your mind. Who will you serve? Who will you going to satisfy God or satisfy your flesh? No man can serve two. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. And we're trying to prove Christ a liar. And you're going to find out that Jesus told you the truth. You cannot satisfy God and your flesh on an equal plane and not have problems. You say, "Well, you've been trying to get that across this week." That's right. You're just not listening. Some of you just hadn't connected yet. But by the time we finished, it'll be very clear why you will not walk with God as a believer. Not an unsaved man. I'm talking about one who is born again, experienced new birth, and will not come along alongside Christ and walk with the Creator. Now, I would think every person would like to do that. Can you imagine walking with one who split the Red Sea, walked upon the Sea of Galilee, healed the sick, and raised the dead? I would think that every Christian on the planet would love to get to know him that way, get to know him better. But it doesn't work that way. You notice that? And so, listen. He saved you so that you might walk with him. He saved you so that you might live for Christ, that you might serve him. He saved you so that you could live for Christ in such a way that he is the master of your life. Remember when we started out, why did God save you? The purpose of God's working in mankind is not simply to save man from his suffering. The purpose of God's working in mankind is to make it possible for man to glorify and magnify Christ. The reason he saved you is he might now fix you up in this life and fix you up in such a way that you can render a service that will count, render a service unto God that would glorify and magnify Christ, not only in this world, but folks, the world to come. So what was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this: once you believed on me, have you believed on Christ as the one who bore your sin, who died in your place, who was buried, whom God resurrected from the dead? If you've not done that, you need to do that. That's what you need to do. But once you believed on me, once you've accepted what I have done for you, he tasted death for you. He took upon himself your sins, and He died in your place. Now, why would He do that? You see, He said, once you've accepted what I've done for your salvation, once you've embraced the gospel, then as a born-again believer, you must embrace me with your whole heart. You need to embrace me as master and Lord of it all. He don't want just 99% of it. He wants it all. You've not done that yet. Some of you folks, you'll never discover what the Christian life is all about. You're kind of like a fish out of water. He never intended us to live that way, and I'll share with you in a minute. It's sin. It's sin to receive Christ and not go on and make Him master and Lord of your life. It's sin because it is His right. And I don't think we actually comprehend that. That's right. Listen, but what does that mean? Because once you believed on me, accepted me, then you must embrace me as master and Lord of your life. But what does that mean? What does it mean to make someone like Christ master and Lord of your life? Well, notice Mark 8:34. Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The word will here means to determine, to choose. It is a decision. Hey, I can't make it for you. Some of you folks need to make a decision. Remember, the successful Christian life is you making a decision. You need to make this decision if you're going to be what God Almighty wants to be. I'm sorry. There is no plan B. If you want to be used to the full extent God wants to use in this service, stand before Him one day unashamed. As a born-again believer, you've got to make this kind of a decision. So it is the will. The will. He wants to... Not, see, Jesus, we haven't seen Jesus' will yet. Jesus, I come to do my Father's will. Hey, when He come back, man, you're gonna see something, you know, happen. I can't wait. But anyway, the word will here means determined to choose. It is a decision that you make. The word come is an infinitive. It means to come. Learn something from third grade English. It means to come. It is literally saying to come and follow. So what is the Bible saying? It's simply saying this. The child of God in the room tonight who wants to make Christ master and Lord of his life wills to come. He makes that conscious and deliberate decision to come after Christ and follow the Son of God. If I ask you today, have you made a decision to receive Christ as your own personal Savior? Many of you could say yes. I did that November 22nd, 1987, at the age of 30. Saw myself a sinner, needed of a Savior, couldn't save myself, and therefore I received Christ as the one who bore my sin, died in my place, was buried, and whom God resurrected from the dead. So, can you give me a time? Can you give me a place where you recognize the fact that you too were a sinner, and that you too were in need of a Savior, and that you could not save yourself, and therefore you too received Christ as your own personal Savior? Okay. But I wonder if I ask you tonight, have you made that once and for all and forever decision to walk with Christ, to follow God? Now, what would you say? You ought to live for Christ as your master and Lord. You ought to, because, folks, it is His right. John 13:13, Jesus said, hey, ye call me master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. One day you will get the message. You will bow the knee. Why not tonight? What you waiting on? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember that day? Mine was November 22nd, 87, the age of 30. It became His right by virtue of His redemption to be your master and Lord. Therefore, it is sin to embrace Christ and not go and make Him master and Lord of your life. It is sin because, folks,
It is his right to be your master and Lord. Now, I have decided to walk with God. That's probably evident. It should show in the lifestyle of the believer, right?
Yes.
I have made a decision to follow Christ. I want to know Christ like no other Christian on the planet. I've already made that clear. I have a passion to know Christ. Some of you folks have a passion to make money, a passion of notoriety or whatever, but a hunger that you might have a passion to know Christ like no other Christian on the planet. But that's a decision that you've got to make. And then you press toward that mark of knowing Christ better like no other Christian on the planet. So I sin. You folks know I sin. I speed too. That's why I got cruise control. I'm not a dummy. I use 1 John 1:9. You know what God told me? He says, son, if you confess that sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and I'll start up again.
Amen.
Proverbs 24, verse 16, a just man falls 7 times and riseth up again. Some of you folks just stay down. You fall into mischief. Both fall. Righteous man gets back up, goes again. God's people just go on their way and fall into mischief. Listen, I sin, I make mistakes, I stumble, I fall. I get up, and I rededicate my life to the Lord. But I have already made the decision to follow Christ. Now, because of that simple decision, it has affected the way I think. It has affected the way I talk. It has affected the crowd in which I run with. It has affected the way I love my wife. It has affected everything about me. And that explains a lot of things about my life. A lot of things about my life can be explained by the fact of a decision. One simple decision made in 1987 to walk with Christ. Now, folks, if you're going to make that decision to follow Him, it involves some things. Now we're going to see what it's going to cost. Now, you may not be willing to pay the price, but it is available. Come on. Is He worth it? Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. Well, it involves self-denial. The word deny here simply means to disown or abstain. Now, in the context, it means to forget oneself or to lose sight of one's own interest. Brethren, I've made up my mind that I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to come down on God's side, and I'm going to discipline myself to do right. Therefore, in light of that, I have made up my mind I am going to deny myself. It's a life of self-denial. Hard part over, hard part past. You kidding me? That was a decision. Now, you discipline yourself to do what you've decided. That's deny self. And you depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do that. What was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this. If the child of God wills to come after me, let him surrender everything to God. That is, he wants it all. Totally dedicated. That's your hands, your feet, your mouth, your brain, your children, your family. Let the born-again believer, the child of God, surrender everything to me, his life, his dreams, his plans, his ambitions, his goals. If the child of God wills to come after me, let him surrender his will. His will to God. It's that, brethren, you're not a disciple of Christ. You're not a follower of Christ. If you're holding on to certain things and saying, Lord, you can have everything but this. You don't believe that. Luke 14:33, Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all, A-L-L, that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Some of you folks still holding on to something. And remember, I told you, God knows how to get what you're trying to hold on to. Why don't you just surrender? Only going to surrender, and then you win. Ha ha! I know it don't sound right. I know it don't sound right. But that's how it works. Listen, if you're holding on to certain things and saying, Lord, you can have everything but this, you're not a disciple of Christ. It is self-denial. You must surrender your rights. Are you ready to do that? Mortify the deed of the body? It's surrender your rights to the rights of your master and Lord. But what does that mean? It simply means that Jesus Christ must be put first in all things. He must be ahead of your family at this point. He must be ahead of your friends. He must be ahead of your loved ones. You cannot satisfy God and your loved ones on an equal plane, not have problems. He must be ahead of your finances. He must be ahead of your work. You cannot satisfy God and your job on an equal plane, not have problems. He must be ahead of your dreams. We've already covered some of this. Hopefully it's getting to get to know God better. You must be ahead of your plans. He must be ahead of your ambitions. He must be ahead of your goals. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things he might have the preeminence. John 3:30, he must increase, but my friend, you must decrease. So what was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this. It's a whosoever will available for every Christian on planet Earth. Whosoever wills to come after me, whosoever makes a decision, who decides to come after me tonight, whosoever wants to come after me at this point, let him deny himself, period. It's a total life of self-denial. Yeah. It's a good deal, though. I'm telling you. To talk with the one who split the Red Sea, walked up on the Sea of Galilee, healed the sick, raised the dead. You don't do it because you get to walk with him. You do it because you love him. You deserve it. He deserves it. But some of you have no clue what I'm even talking about. Listen, if you're going to follow Christ, it involves self-denial, but it gets worse. Yeah, it involves cross-bearing now. Mark 8:34, Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The word take up is a permanent attitude and practice. Permanent attitude and practice. The cross was an instrument of death. The reference to one taking up his cross meant a lot more to the people in Jesus' day than it does to us today. When a prisoner was crucified by Rome, it was the man's job to pick up his cross or crossbeam, place it on his shoulders, and carry it out to the place of execution. When a prisoner took up his cross, he was as good as dead. All that stood before him was death. He would do nothing else. After he took up his cross, it was his final act. And so when Jesus said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, he was making a profound statement. Jesus is simply saying, deny self and die to self. When you make that decision to become a follower, a disciple of Christ, at this point you have made the final decision in your life. Your life is not your own. You at this point have made the final decision in your life. You need to come to that place in life today and say, Lord Jesus, I have decided once and for all and forever that I am going to take up my cross and from this point forward in my walk with God, consider myself dead. Some of you folks, how dead are you? How long have you been dying? I have no rights. At this point, you're saying, God, I'm a dead man. I have no rights of my own. I have no dreams of my own. I get to live with people every week. I'm with someone brand new every week. Almost every week I'm with somebody brand new. Man, if I had to have it my way all the time, it'd be an absolute mess. I don't have to have a soft bed. I don't even have to have a bed, praise God. Some of you folks, if you don't have a soft bed, a hard bed, or no bed, you'd be in, you know, see? But can you imagine me going around and saying, they gave me a half glass of water. There was half glass of water sitting on the table. And first thing in brain said, I wonder if somebody's been in drinking that. First thing in my mind, you know, kept mouth shut. And next thing I know, the little boy knocks his milk over and she says, that's why we only fill them half full. But anyway, see, I didn't know why. But I didn't have to have a full glass of water. But those are old war stories. Those battles won already, you say. I can live with anybody because don't have to have it my way.
I have no rights. I laid my rights down. Have you laid your rights, your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals down? I have no rights of my own. I have no dreams of my own. I have no plans of my own. I have no goals of my own. I'm a dead man. I'm more dead now than I was 27 years ago. That's the only way when a Yahoo cuts you off, you don't put the shopping cart through his windshield. You see what I'm saying? There was a time I'd have been glad to do it and pay for it. But a dead man don't respond to circumstances. Dead man dead. But it's easy to talk, but you need to walk the talk and talk the walk. If you're going to talk, you need to walk the walk. You see what I'm saying? But you can do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. This is not something for a few. This is for every Christian. Every Christian. And so, listen, are you a dead man? In Romans 12:1, we noticed that last night. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is what Jesus Christ had in mind. That's what he had in mind. And so, John 12:24, Jesus comes back again and said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you. I'm not going to lie to you. Truly, truly, I say unto you. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But Jesus said, hey, listen to me. Just as man cannot get saved any way he chooses, you can't, and you can't live for me any way you choose, you know. You need to follow my method. So John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if you die, you'll bring forth a fruit, much fruit. That is, die to what? Don't you want to bring forth much fruit? I mean, don't you want to influence this community? Don't you want this church to grow? Don't you want to do something for God because He's done so much for you? Amen. Then you've got to die. Folks, you've got to die to your dreams, your plans, your ambitions, your goals, your children, your family, your car, your house, your time, your money, your body. Will you die? Will you die tonight? Will you die to the career? Will you die to the life you've made for yourself? What you afraid of? Die to the life you've made for yourself and discover what the Christian life is truly all about. Jesus said, listen, you will bring, if you die to the life you've made for yourself, Jesus Christ said, hey, I'm not a liar. He says, you will bring forth much fruit. But the key is you've got to die. See, you've made your, you have no rights of your own. It's not thy will. He may have you. You lay it all down. I had one guy said, you mean I'm supposed to sell everything I have and go be a monk up on a mountaintop? Is that what you got? I didn't say that. I'm just saying, you lay it all down. Now, he may take it, but God knows what he's doing. Now, the cross is not some burden that you bear. It's not some hardship. It's not some handicap. Folks, wake up. It's not some difficulty that you bear. It is. What is it then? It is total surrender of self to God. You say, I don't believe that. Well, Romans 6:13, neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. That's a decision. Members, yield your body parts to God. If you yield your tongue to God, you're a servant of righteousness. If you yield your tongue to gossip, you're a servant of sin, you see. So as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, you are to die to self. You say, preacher, am I to deny all those things that make me happy? Do I see them? I'm happy? Man, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet. Am I supposed to deny all those things that make me happy? Am I supposed to deny all those things that give me joy? I say yes and no. In all likelihood, all those decent and honorable desires that you have are usually permitted by Christ Himself. But folks, Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Not delight thyself in thyself. No, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Then he says, commit. You're just not commit to thee yet. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Here it is. As you present your bodies a living sacrifice to Christ, your body totally dedicated to God in every single way, so that God is now, at this point, God says, I am well pleased with you. That's what we want. Okay. Those decent and honorable desires that you have are usually permitted by Christ. However, you must be prepared to lay down all of your dreams at the feet of Christ. I'm an evangelist. I gave my life to the ministry. But folks, I have to lay the ministry down at the feet of Christ and say, Jesus, if you want me out of your service, that's your decision. When Norman Stevens made a conscious and deliberate decision to walk with God, made a decision to follow Christ, he gave up all of his rights. I didn't go through them and say, well, you divide my life in a little compartment and say you're going to get this and this and this, but not, you know, you don't do that. And so I have the right to all kinds of things. But you see, when I decided, made a conscious, deliberate decision to make Christ Lord of it all, I laid all those things down at the feet of Christ. I did not go through them and say, well, I'm going to keep this one, give that one up. I did not do that. You don't do that. You simply put it all down at the feet of Christ and say, Lord, I forsake it all. I forsake my dreams. I forsake my plans. I forsake my ambitions. I forsake my goals. I forsake it all, and I take up my cross, and I consider myself a dead man. A dead man. So Luke 9:23, the Bible says, let him take up his cross daily. When you get out in the bed in the morning, I wonder how many of God's people say this. You ought to say something like this. It's good discipline. You ought to say something like this. Lord, I'm a dead man. I am dead to self. I have no rights of my own. That's a good one. I have no rights of my own. The only reason for me, listen folks, the only reason for me to inhale and exhale is that I might walk with Christ, that I might follow Christ, that I might do the will of God. The only reason for Norman to inhale and exhale is that I might live for Christ. That's it. Have you made that sort of decision too? Or is it still up in the air? But many of you are not prepared to face the reality of that. That decision. Why is that? I'll tell you. You have too many things that you cherish. You see, you have too many things that you cherish. You want what you want. You want to do what you want to do. You don't want to do what you don't want to do. Therefore, you're not a disciple of Christ. You say, now I'm saved, I'm born again. Hey, I received Christ, my own personal Savior. That may be true. You may be saved, you may be born again, you may have been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ, but you are not a disciple of Christ. For a disciple of Christ is one who has truly forsaken all. I'm sorry. Luke 14:33, Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, folks, here it is. This is so clear. Don't you see? The message of the Lordship of Christ is as narrow as the gospel itself. There will be few that find it. That's right. Why not you? All you got to do is make a decision, a conscious, deliberate decision, and then God's going to help you accomplish that. God will not wake you up tomorrow morning and say, and put you in the chair and say, read that. If you don't have character or discipline to make the decision and do that, he won't do it for you. However, if you'll get up tomorrow morning, open the book and say, help, at this point you've met all the prerequisites. He's going to meet you at that moment in time in history, and he's going to empower you to study and to read and to be the Christian you ought to be. The same thing with the decision tonight. Man, if you don't have character or discipline, you can't just get up and make a decision. He won't do it for you. But if you'll get out of your chair and stop being afraid, and I'm telling you, it's okay. Been there, done that. I know it looks scary. But God is good. I'm telling you, God's fair. God's just. God's holy. He's never made a mistake. He never owed any man an apology. Then why then don't you make a decision? For the life of me, I just don't understand. It's a matter of the will. It's just a matter you just get up and say, not my will. And mean it. And mean what you say and say what you mean. It's just so simple. Brethren, if you're going to make that decision to follow Christ, it involves self-denial. It involves cross-bearing. You make the decision, God will accomplish this in your life. But you've got to make the decision. And then He'll take you back to tonight. He'll take you back to this decision. He said, and He'll be beginning to work on you. And He won't let you go. And then if you continue on in your rebellion at this point, He'll take you home. At this point, you do it again, I'll take you home. Some people never even make the decision. But notice number three, because I can't believe it. Time is just, we need to get rid of that clock. Notice number three. It involves walking beside God. Walking with God. Do you know what it is like to walk with Christ and have your heart burn within as He reveals Himself to you? Man, if you've ever known what it is to have your heart burn within, I'm telling you, you're going to stop. If God says stop eating chocolate, you're going to stop. You're going to do whatever is necessary to stop eating chocolate. I guarantee you. Right? You love chocolate too much, don't you? Okay. Well, anyway, whatever. I don't know what it is, but that's the reality of it. Listen. Whosoever come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay, the word follow here in our text literally means come and walk with me. Can you imagine Christ? Come walk with me. Hey, who do you like? Who would you like to spend some time with down here? If you had any in all the world, you got a famous movie star or maybe a musician or somebody that you like, Clint Eastwood, somebody, you know, if you could stay with somebody, wouldn't you be great? How about, what if I could get him here tomorrow? Who desire do you be with? I can get him in tomorrow, just like that. Hey, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I know this guy on the Kansas City Royals. Is that what they are? Okay. I know him. I can have him here tomorrow night. Oh, I mean, be packed out. How about Christ? How about Christ? How about walk with Christ? Get to know Him. Is He worth it? Is He worth it? Who do you want to spend time with? Who is it you love more than you love yourself? Okay. Never mind. Take that, scratch that one. Okay, the emphasis, listen, the emphasis on the word is not behind your trail. The emphasis is come up alongside me in fellowship with me, Norm. What was Jesus saying? He's simply saying this, let's walk together today. That's whosoever wills. Whosoever wills to come after me, whosoever wills to walk with me by my side as my friend, as my companion. He said, now let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Let him come up alongside me. And then he says, and let us walk together. Let us talk together. Let us fellowship together. Do you want to know the joy of the Christian life? Really? Then deny yourself. Make a decision. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. And let's walk with Jesus. And as you walk with Him, and as you talk with Him, to Him, and as you fellowship with Him, you will say, wow, did not my heart burn within me today as I walked, talked, and fellowship with the Son of God as He revealed Himself to me? And you'd go to bed at night with your heart burning, you know, with a smile on your face. And you wake up tomorrow morning with a smile on your face. He said, well, no Christian can live that way. You can. And you ought to be living that way. Don't choose to live any other walk or way. Whether way you want to walk, whether way you want to live. You want to live in the flesh? You want to walk around all day long under the flesh? You want to walk around all day long with thoughts of anger, envy, and jealousy, lust? You want to walk around all day long with a frowning face? Is that the way you want to walk? Unsaved folks walk like that. Don't you want to walk a different sort of walk? Don't you want your heart to burn within? And don't you want your heart to burn within as He talks to you and while He opens to you His Word? And a vast majority of God's people on planet Earth don't even know what it is like to walk, talk, and fellowship with the Master every day. I'm sorry. They don't know how. They don't know what's what. Brother, I'm not trying to take something away from you. I hope you realize that. God said, go tell my people. Go tell my people. I want to lead them to something that's wonderful. Deciding to follow Christ is a path, and walk with Him is a path that's wonderful. And it requires obedience. John 15:10, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And as you make a decision to walk with Him by His side, as His friend, as His companion, and He talks back to you through His Word, through the Spirit of God indwelling you, you are to obey Him. You are to discipline yourself to do what He says to do. You to go where He wants to go. And at this point in your walk with God, you bring your life in total submission to Him. And then and only then will you ever discover what the Christian life is truly all about. But not every child of God lives this sort of life. Why is that? Quickly. Four reasons why you will not do it. Mark 8:35, Jesus said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Now, some of you folks are afraid to live for Christ. You are afraid that He's going to mess up your life. Let me say this, how foolish you are. How you must anger God. That's right. I choose my words carefully. One day I'll have to get an account for that. How you must anger God when you do not allow Him to have complete control, rule, and reign over your life as a Christian. Listen, God knows how to run your life. He was running lives a long time before you got here. He'll be running lives a long time after you're gone. He's always done a good job. He has never made one mistake. God never fails. Why then don't you make a decision to walk with Him? Why then don't you trust Him? Lord, if I give my life to You tonight, I'm afraid. I'm afraid You're going to mess up my life. I am afraid that I'm going to lose out. Here it is. I have some things I want to do. That's the reality of it. What did Jesus say? He simply said, listen, folks, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you try to save your life by your own dreams, by your own plans, by your own ambition, by your own goals, you're going to lose it for sure. But Jesus goes on to say, whosoever shall lose his life, if you will lay your life down, you say, totally dedicated, not 99%, but totally dedicated, surrendered, I surrender all. Well, but Jesus goes, whosoever will lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. You'll discover a walk. Man, you'd be, if everybody got to discover what I'm talking about, man, they'd be flocking to get in line. But they don't see it yet. They're still blinded. Do you know why some of you are not willing to follow the Lord? Yeah, you're rebels. Yeah. Hey, I've met some. I've had Christians come up to me and says, I am a rebel. I'm one of God's rebels. I backed up and I said, ma'am, get back away. Woohoo! I've actually met them. Yeah. They've actually told me that. I have some, and somebody probably come up tonight and tell me, yep, I'm one of his rebels too. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all. The rebel says, I have some things that I want to accomplish. The rebel says, I don't want God's way. Now, let me ask you, think with me. What is the profit for a believer who lives for himself? What is the profit 100 years from today if the believer builds an empire for himself, he builds riches for himself, he builds a name for himself? Nothing wrong with riches. Nothing wrong with things in and of themselves. And as long as things remain in submissive role to the Lordship of Christ, remember, they can be wonderful servants. When these things seek to arrive at the Lordship of Christ, you got a rebel. You got a problem. What is it? What's the profit 100 years from today if he builds an empire, riches, and a name for himself? What is the profit 100 years from today if that rebel does it outside the will of God? You see, outside the will of God. What is the profit in the process of getting all that profit? The believer loses peace, he loses contentment, and the man loses spiritual blessings. Folks, what is the profit? You're not in the profit column. That man going to wake up at the judgment seat of Christ and find out he has been in the lost column.
I've abused and misused my life. I've not been paid careful attention to what you want from my life.
It's not going to be a pretty sight, folks. I'm telling you, it's not going to be a pretty sight. So we don't even think in that realm. Oh, everything going to be, it's not going to be pretty. You don't stand before him. You're not going to stand before him one day unashamed by accident. If you stand before him unashamed, it will be because somewhere in your walk with him, you made a decision. That's how you're going to stand before him one day. That's all that's going to happen. So, do you know why some of you are not willing to follow the Lord? You're selfish. God's people are so selfish. Did you know that? Selfish people. Mark 8:37, Jesus said, "Or what shall a man get in exchange for his soul?" And this is the child of God tonight who says, "What's in it for me?" Now, folks, I'm not saying follow Christ because it will turn out good for you. I'm not saying maintain fellowship with God because it's going to turn out good for you. I'm not saying all that, you know, because it will turn out good for you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying follow Christ, walk with God, because everything's going to go smoothly until you die and go to heaven. It's not going to go down that way. You see? I believe it will turn out good for you. I really do. I believe that if you'll make the decision to follow Christ, a decision to love him with your whole heart, you'll find a quality of life you've never dreamed possible. You have no clue. But folks, you ought not give your life to Christ because there is something good in it for you. You ought to give your life to Christ because he deserves it. If nothing good ever happened to you, see, if no joy comes my way, you ought to follow Christ because he deserves it. I don't serve him because things go smoothly. If no joy comes, I've already, Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I maintain my own ways before him. Hey, let's get a martyr's crown. Praise God. Let's go out. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? No, I guess not. Well, you ought to follow Christ because he does. The selfish person says, "What's in it for me?" You're going to love this. "What can I get in exchange for my soul?" Jesus said, look up. "You are a fool." I said that to a preacher's message a long time ago in Pennsylvania. And I pointed out a fellow. I said, "You're a fool. You've exchanged what God has already planned for you. You have forsaken God's will. You've forsaken God's plan. You've forsaken God's dream to pursue your own dreams, your own plans, your own ambition, your own goals. You are a fool to exchange what God has planned for you." He said, "You made me so angry." He got so angry. 5 years later, five long years later, he calls me up. He said, "Norman, I never got over it." He said, "It took God 5 years to get my attention." He says, "I want God's direction. I want God's plans." But see, it took him 5 more years because he got angry. How about you? Pointing the finger at you. Are you a fool? Have you exchanged what God already planned for you? Have you forsaken God's plan? Have you forsaken God's goal for you? Are you pursuing your own dreams, your own plans, your own ambition, your own goals? Have you forsaken what God has already planned for you? Well, you are a fool to exchange what God has planned for you. Fourth, but you'll find that out one day. Hopefully not at the judgment seat of Christ. But do you know why some of you are not willing to follow the Master? Why you're not willing to walk with God by his side as his friend, as his companion daily? You're ashamed of him. God's people are ashamed of the Lord. Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words." This is the Christian tonight. Well, the believer tonight. Who is embarrassed at the prospect of being identified with the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. "Preacher, if I did what Jesus says, I have some family and friends who will laugh at me and call me a fool." And that's the reason why some of you tonight are not prepared to make Jesus Master and Lord of your lives. You are ashamed to identify with Christ, or you are ashamed to identify with the Word of God. That is, you are ashamed to live under the authority of God, under the rule of God, as it is expressed in the Word of God. Remember me already illustrating that? James 4:7, submit yourselves to God. Therefore God, resist the devil, he shall flee from you. The only way you can submit yourself to God is to bring yourself under the authority of God, and the rule of God is expressed in the Word of God. So how important is the Word of God in your life today? You know, do you gladly submit yourself to the principles of the Word of God? Do you gladly submit yourself to the commandments of the Word of God? See, if you're a spiritual Christian, you do. If you're a carnal Christian, you do not. It is that simple. And so, you like to say, I have a mind of my own, I can think for myself. You don't like the idea of saying, if the Bible says it. See, if the Bible says it, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you were that good Christian man, that follower of Christ, then you would let God order your steps, and then you would discipline yourself to obey Him. So if the Bible says tithe, okay. If the Bible says go to church, okay. If the Bible says study, if the Bible says pray, if the Bible says witness, if the Bible says let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away, to all that, be kind to their heart. Yeah. You gonna do it? Okay. You gonna stop your complaining? Oh, there's a witness to it. Stop your complaining. James 4:17 or something. I don't know. I forgot it now. Okay. Listen, I'm not trying to be funny, not trying to be mean or ugly. I'm just trying to get you to wake up. You know what you're saying there? I have nothing to gain by lying to you. I know that sounds funny. Everybody lies to you. But I'm telling you, folks, I have nothing to gain by lying to you. I could be in Florida right now. What would possess someone to... I says, well, it's not my will. He said, I want you to go meet the needs of my people. And I got to obey. I've got to discipline myself to obey Him. I'm a dead man. I go where He wants me to go. I try to bring my life in total submission to Him. Why? Because there's something good in it for you? No, because I love Him. You like Him, you appreciate Him, but I wish I could get you to love Him. Preacher, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to say to my family and friends, the Bible says do, and so I do, and the Bible says don't do it, so I don't do it. I don't want to do that. That would embarrass me. So what was Christ saying? He's simply saying the reason my people won't walk with me, the reason my people will not follow me, is that my people are truly ashamed of me and of my words. Why is it today you're holding back from making that decision? Say, now it's kind of, okay, you say, so you're going to fit in one now. Why then? What keeps you from making that decision? What decision? That once and for all and forever decision that Jesus is going to call the shots? He's going to have complete control, rule, and reign over your life as a born-again believer. He's going to tell you when to go to bed, when to get up, when to go to bed, and you've made the final decision in your life. When are you going to step up and make that sort of decision? He will decide everything about you from this point. He will decide what you do with your life. He'll decide what you do with your marriage. He'll decide what you do with your home. He'll decide what you do with your children. He'll decide your vocation. He'll decide your standards. He'll decide your studies. He'll decide everything about you, and you'll bring your life in total submission to Him. What keeps you from making that simple decision? You see, you don't know Him. You may be saved, you may be born again, but you don't really know Him. You see, if you loved Him, it's not a hard decision at all. You got a lot of facts in your head, but you really don't know Him. You think He's going to make a mistake. He's never made a mistake. We still say that, but we need to confront this. What keeps you from making decisions? Is it fear? Is it rebellion? Is it selfishness? Is it shame? Folks, you need to get serious. We need to get serious. Don't you want to do something for Christ? Listen, you need to see Christ as He wrestled there in the garden and come into the decision, folks, even if it means separation from His Father. His Father. He said, folks, I'll drink this cup. You better thank God. Yeah. If it's not for Christ, you would not have eternal life and a home in heaven. That's right. Listen, I'll drink the cup. You need to see Christ taking up His cross. Can you go back and see Christ taking up His cross? Can you see Christ tasting death for you? See, can you see Christ taking upon Himself your sins, dying in your place, folks? You need to see Jesus, and you need to stop fooling around. Did you know Jesus is in the room? Because people are still trying to figure out if He's in the room or not. Jesus right here, and He says, am I worth it? See, I don't think you really believe Jesus in the room. His hands are extended right now. He says, you can. I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Literally through the Christ who strengthens me. And he just wants you to make a decision. Why don't you just come and make a decision? You know, people go out just the way they came in tonight. It's amazing. It's as if they didn't even hear. Their eyes were never opened. You notice what I'm saying? You ought to see it from my point of view. I just don't get it. I can't comprehend it. It just amazes me. Well, you need to decide once and for all and forever today that Christ is not only your Savior, right? He's your Savior, but also He is your Master Lord. If that means serving the Lord, fine. I'm not saying He's going to take you to Africa. But if that means serving the Lord in Africa, fine. If it means breaking off this pet sin, fine. If it means breaking off this relationship, fine. Folks, I have decided once and for all and forever that I am not my own. I belong to Christ. I belong to another. And then Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. So what was Paul saying? He's simply, not my rights, not my life, not my dreams, not my plans, not my ambitions, not my goals. From this day forward and forever, it's settled. Jesus Christ is not only my Savior, but He is Master. He is Lord of it all. Not 10% of it. He can't be Lord of most of it or 10% of it. He's got to be the Lord of it all and discover what the Christian life is about. But what keeps you from making that simple decision? Fear, rebellion, selfishness, or shame? All right, let's bow our heads. I wonder how many of you folks say, preacher, I'm saved, and I know it. Would you raise your hand? All right, you may put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I don't know Christ. I hear you preaching, and man, I don't comprehend, understand spiritual truth, and man, I can't wait to get out of here. Or maybe there's some other reason, but you say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? If you let me do that, would you hold up your hand that I might pray for you? I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I will not come after you, and I'm not going to call your name out, and I promise that. But would you let me pray that God might open your heart and mind to the gospel, that you might receive Jesus and have eternal life and home in heaven? Anyone like that tonight? All right. Let me ask you another question. Who would say, preacher, I have once and for all decided that I am going to follow Christ. If that's your personal testimony, would you hold up your hand? Absolutely. You may put your hands down. I figured this much. Who would say, preacher, I ought to decide that. I ought to decide I'm going to follow Christ. I've been saved long enough to appreciate my salvation, but I have not made that decision. Pray for me if you let me do that. Hold up your hand. I see that. God bless you. Okay. At least you're honest. Praise God. Anyone else? I have not done that. Not made a commitment like that, but I need to. All right. Who would say, preacher, I was able to say a few minutes ago, I have decided to follow Christ. I had made a decision to, but I have not been living like it lately. I made a decision years ago to walk with God, to follow Him, to be obedient. And for whatever reason, I've gotten away with it. We've got away from that. And I need to renew that vow. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, when thou makest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. Yet no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. And I need to renew my vow. I'm going to walk with God, follow Christ. Maybe something like that. You say, preacher, that's me. Would you remember me as well in prayer? Absolutely. 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 You may put your hands down. Pray for me. Renew the decision to follow Christ. Anyone else? Well, Lord Jesus, I didn't see any hands for salvation, but that does not mean that there's folks here that did not know Christ as their personal Savior. Even though they did not ask me to pray, I pray that that one will not leave tonight without having the assurance that their sins are forgiven, that they have eternal life and a home in heaven when they die. There's no reason why they should leave without knowing. I also pray for those who made a decision years ago and for whatever to follow Christ and for whatever reason they got away from it. I pray that they will renew that vow as said. I pray that they'll do that. Those who made a decision and still continue to be doing right, and I pray that we might take heed lest we fall. We just don't get to be boastful about that, because you should humble yourself in the sight of God. He will lift you up. Help us to be on the lookout for danger. Help us to keep our mind in gear as we look, Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may trip, whom he may devour. Not just trip, but he wants to devour, leaving no trace that they've been here. And then I pray for those who need to make the decision. They're still trying to decide if it's worth it. I pray, dear Jesus, they'll come and make a decision today and discover the joy, the real joy in the Christian life, we pray. We'll be careful to give you the thanks and pray for what we've accomplished tonight in Jesus' name. Now,